As we now stand in honor of the scripture this morning, our scripture lesson comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. Hear this word. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. This became known to all the residents of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their language Hecatomba, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his homestead become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and let another take his position of overseer.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. May God bless the hearing of this word. Thanks be to God. Now, please be seated.
In many ways, today was going to look a lot differently than I thought it was going to look on Wednesday. What we were so certain of just a few days ago, even when we gathered here to practice as the confirmation class, to talk about your commitments, to talk about what God has done in your lives, to talk about that God's love is everywhere, we thought it would look a lot different this morning. At least I did. In fact, I thought the congregation would be full, but things change. I remember Thursday night telling you, the confirmands and the families, when we were gathered here, when we get to that part in the confirmation where the congregation responds to listen to all the voices affirming your decision to join the church, to hear the voices affirming you as you joined your lives with the lives of others in this place, those who have come before you, those who have paved the way, and encouraging you to hear the voices of your family and your friends that have supported you. And while today there may not be as many voices as we thought there would be, I want to encourage you and remind you that it does not make the decisions that you make in front of friends and family any less sacred or any less special. It just means that there are two things that are true today. Things always change, and I was wrong. I waited till there was a small congregation to announce that today, by the way. But the scripture, I think, is very helpful. It's helpful not just for you, the confirmands, but I think it's helpful for all of us as we think about what it means to live our lives in faith. It's not one of those scriptures that gives us a formula or a plan for how to live. It doesn't teach us about the golden rule that Jesus gives us, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." It doesn't talk about the great commandment where Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." It's not the end of Matthew's gospel, what we call the Great Commission, where Jesus says, "Go into the world teaching and baptizing in my name." No, this is a story about conflict in the church. And it's a story about figuring out what to do when you think things were going to go according to a plan, and all of a sudden you have to make up something on the way. I think that is helpful for us, for all of us, as we think about what it means to be followers of Christ when things don't go our way. The story that we read from the book of Acts comes from the book of Acts, which tells us about the journey the disciples were on. The disciples who walked, who ate, who talked, who laughed, who cried, who celebrated with Christ when Christ was living in their midst on earth. But now Christ has died and Christ has been resurrected and Christ has ascended into heaven, as we say in the affirmation of faith. They're trying to make sense. These disciples, these followers of Christ, are trying to understand and comprehend what in the world has gone on. They've lost Judas, who they thought was one of their own, but he ended up being the betrayer of Christ. And so they're trying to figure out how to put the team back together, how to get to that number of 12. They're trying to figure out what happens next. But they know that they have to keep going. They know that they have to press on. They know that they have to keep pressing towards the goal that was called in Christ Jesus. And so they're trying to be faithful, even though this is uncharted territory. And they remember the scriptures. Notably, we see in our reading today, they remember the book of Psalms, because they've studied the Bible together, just like you, the confirmands, have studied the Bible together, like we, the body of Christ, study the Bible together. We do it in community as a way for us to take example for how we move forward, for try and make sense when things don't go our way. This group that we read from our scripture today uses their best knowledge, their best experience, uses the best traditions of their faith, because they know that they have experienced the love and the grace of God. And so they try to figure out how to move forward when things don't go according to plan. And then they decide, and guess what? The church keeps moving and going and thriving. In just a few moments, when the confirmands come up, they will have standing behind them their family and their sponsors. And we know that along the way, someone introduced your parents or your sponsors to God's love, and someone introduced them to God's love, and someone else introduced that person to God's love, all the way back, maybe right here, to our story in Acts today. Now, since you're almost done with confirmation, the only big word that I'm going to leave you with today is apostolic succession. Big, heavy, $64,000 theological word, apostolic succession. But all it means is that we have been given the faith of those that have gone on before us. It means that we are all followers of Christ, and that we have a community surrounding us, loving us, encouraging us. Apostolic succession may sound like a big, heavy term, but it is that love and that grace of God that is already at work in your lives and in the lives of others. So you, the confirmation class, and we, the body of Christ, gathered in this place, know that we are going to be faced with situations in life where the world changes and we have to figure out what to do next. We may not always know the best thing to do, and we may not always follow it to the best of our ability. But in a short sentence, living into that uncertainty and faith is probably the best way to be a Christian. It's the best way to be a follower of Christ, to find yourself at a crossroads and to have to decide what to do. Welcome to the life of being a Christian. One day you will be certain of what is ahead. You will live in what we might call those mountaintop moments, where we're so close to God that we feel comfort and rest in everything that we do. But then the next minute, it seems like plans may change drastically, and we aren't sure how to move forward or whether the decisions that we're making are the right ones. We live in uncertainty, but the thing that we are certain of is God's love in our life. We read from the book of Romans where Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." For all of us who seek to renew our faith, it is a reminder that wherever we go, there is nowhere that we can go apart from God's love. Welcome to the life of being a Christian. Now, one of the things that we talk about is the sacrament of baptism. It is the thing that marks us. It is an outward and a visible sign of an inward and a spiritual grace. And I remember the very first time I got to participate in a baptism, the only piece of instruction that I was given was don't drop the baby. They didn't tell me what to say or what to do. They just said, don't drop the baby. And as you can see, this robe comes with a lot of fabric. And when I was given the baby was wearing a baptism gown, and the baby had a lot of fabric. So between the fabric of the baptism gown, spoiler alert, I didn't drop the baby, in case you were wondering. I could see the anxiety growing. But between the fabric of my robe and the fabric, you couldn't see the kid except for the forehead and the nose popping out of all that was gathered here. But I didn't drop the baby. So I would say my first time assisting with the baptism was a success. The second time I assisted with the baptism, I was handed a child that was crying and would not stop crying and was crying in my ear, and everyone was laughing. But the parents, oh, I felt so bad for the parents because they were mortified because they didn't want their child crying. And I got back to the parents and handed the kid back. And of course, once the baby was put back in the arms of its mother, it stopped crying. And the grandparent said, isn't that something? Maybe that's why he was crying, because he knows being a Christian is one of the hardest things you can do. And that always stuck with me. I had many successes with baptisms and children not crying, and I've still yet to drop the baby. But that phrase has always stuck with me. Maybe the child was crying because it knew being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, was the hardest thing that any of us could do. As a confirmation class and as a body of Christ, I think it goes without saying that plans can change quickly. I think it goes without saying that we may feel like we're living in uncertain times, but what we are certain of in all things is God's love. Maybe the crying child was right. Maybe being a Christian is the hardest thing that any one of us can do. But thanks be to God that we can live out our faith, that we can live out our lives, and that we can be a witness to all the world by the countenance that we keep, by the company that we keep, by the grace that we receive and the grace that we are given. It is truly a miraculous and a holy thing that we are able so much as to be disciples of Christ. But it is a joyful thing. Even though there will be no tears, no sadness this morning, there may be tears of joy, there may be tears of laughter, because we rejoice when we gather together. We know that being a Christian may be the hardest thing that we ever do, but it is the most important thing that we do as followers of Christ, as we seek to live in peace with one another, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. So to the confirmation of class of 2020, to the Deasons who led the class, to Kina who shepherded, to the mentors who poured into the lives, and to you, the church, who showed up to pray. For those of you who are praying from afar, for those of you who have lifted this group up in your prayers, we give thanks that together, the hardest thing that we can ever do is something that we get to do together as the body of Christ. Thanks be to God for all that God has done and will do in our lives through us, through these young persons, and through this church that we call Fayetteville First United Methodist Church. Let us pray. Most gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for the opportunities in which we have a chance to come before you acknowledging the fact that sometimes being a disciple and following in the ways that Christ taught us is hard. But we also give thanks that we live within the grace that you have given us. We give thanks that you have given us a love that knows no bounds. And so we pray that as we enter into this time of affirmation of faith for our confirmation class, your Spirit would fall afresh upon us, that we might all be reminded that we have the privilege of being the church together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd now at this time like to invite the confirmands to come and stand at the altar. I'd invite their parents to come and stand with them, and those that they have invited to stand with them, their sponsors or extended family members as well. I invite you to follow along in your order of service, the handout that is found in your bulletin. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift to us, offered without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism and acknowledge what God is doing for us and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. So, confirmation class of 2020, both those who are coming for baptism and those who are affirming their faith, I ask all of you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression at whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with Christ's church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? To those of you who sponsor these candidates, parents and mentors and friends, will you who sponsor these candidates support and encourage them in their Christian life? And congregation, I encourage you to speak loudly and boldly. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? We do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Most gracious and holy God, from the beginning of time, when nothing existed but chaos, you spoke and brought order to the waters of the earth. As your people heard your voice, you led them by the power of your Spirit through the Red Sea, out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. You led the Ark of the Covenant across the Jordan River. And when Jesus Christ was born of this world, he was nurtured in the water of a womb until he was born into this world. He was baptized by John in a river and called all of us to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And so we offer you praise and thanksgiving. As your water has moved for us throughout time, we now return thanks to you. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Those who are receiving baptism, I invite you to kneel at this time. Charlotte Joy Thaxton, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Isabella Rose Neal, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. James Byron Martin, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Cezanne, Alexis, Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Through baptism, we are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Cezanne, Alexis, Lord, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. James Byron Martin, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isabella Rose Neal, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Charlotte Joy Thaxton, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Caroline Lee Gary, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mary Elise Byers, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Rhett Elijah Blythe, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Read Lillian Barlow, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Confirmation class of 2020, will you please stand? As members of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully uphold its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And your answer in faith is, I will. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to faithfully uphold the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now receive this blessing. Now may the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and in peace. Amen. Welcome as the newest members to the household of faith, to Fayetteville First United Methodist Church, and to the body of Christ. I'm going to invite you to return to your seats now and invite you after the service to come back up here for pictures, and that the congregation may greet you and welcome you into the life of the church. I do want to call to your attention the mentors of all the confirmands. We give a special thanks to them, to you, the family, as you have shared with us the life of your confirmands, to David and Lynn Deason, as they have led this class as well. and a special word of thanks for all of us, those who have prayed and who have been praying for the confirmands, those present and those in our hearts. We are the church, and we uphold it with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And I am grateful that we get to celebrate with you the confirmation class of 2020 today and welcome you into the life of the church.